Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening and eargasm pleasure, live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Fukushima irradiated island chains nation paradise. Has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb, and my very special guest is Kate of Gaia. Welcome to the program.
Oh, great to be here finally, Vinny. It's been too long. I've been waiting for this for a while. Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if you were going to do the video or not, so thanks. This is great.
Well, it's good. It's good that we are. It's much more entertaining for the what are they called? The YouTube viewers, because yes. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's like when somebody does a radio show and they publish it on YouTube, there's just usually the one picture there, you know. Yeah. It's not exactly engrossing. we do like to add up with a little bit of the technology. And I was just thinking about this yesterday, actually. I want to start this Guerrilla Media house, right? And I don't care where it is. As long as it's got exactly what I need in it, decent internet, a separate little dwelling on the property or whatever, so I can train activists how to do what I'm doing. And it'll be dingy and cold and terrible and horrible and what have you. But when you walk in, it'll be like, oh, my God, look at all this amazing technology. Look at what we can do. You know, that kind of thing. I figure it doesn't matter what it looks like as long as it gets freaking done. And that's exactly my kind of philosophy. Near enough is good enough.
Works for me, yeah, and I love the dedication. I run 7 nights a week on Critical Mass Radio every night. I'll be going on that as soon as we go off here. So, yeah, it's great. I really love the idea of video because it gives a lot more interactive, so thank you. I do a lot of stuff with Johnny Guzman on QL Television as well, so it's a good thing I put my radio face on. Maybe the radio voice doesn't work for the face, but that's okay. Most people know me, and it's all good. So let's have some fun. What do you want to talk about? I can get us started on lots of stuff.
Firstly, there have been like not less than half a dozen people who have approached me saying, Vinny, you've got to have category on. Vinny, you've got to have category on. Why are people so excited and so obsessed with your radio show and want to hear from you so much? What is it that you normally do and talk about?
Well, we have the key to take the whole system down if anyone's interested. that sounds like a mouthful, but here's the question I like to ask people. Do you know that every day of your life since you've walked this earth, you have been committing fraud? People go, well,
by using my straw man, which isn't me, which is a corporation, which I claim that's me, so I can actually receive debts and bills and fines and jail terms and so on and so forth for things that aren't actually crimes under common law. Yep.
Yeah, and this is all confirmed within system fairly high up, and a lot of it coming out recently with, especially with the apostolic letter that came out July 11th and went into effect September 1st. Very important document. If anyone knows what motu proprio means, it's of his own impulse. So it was the living man that put that document out. And effectively what it did was it removed all immunity from all corporate veils. And that included the Pope himself. So that was a planet-wide decree of the highest order. When something comes out motu proprio, it is the highest degree in the system. Now, the only thing that grants the jurisdiction, or as I call it, jurisfiction, a means over you is the fact that we step into it by using a legal name. You've seen all the videos, you know, cops pulling people over. Where's your ID? Where's your name? Without that, they have nothing. And what people missed was that it's not a physical contract you're dealing with. It's an ethereal. It's a spiritual. When you're dealing with intent, you're dealing with, it's like before you sign something, you have to think about doing it first. Pick up the pen, you got to think about that. And then you have to physically do it. And the physical always comes after the intent, right? That's why in their fictitious courts, it's always about assumption and presumption. And they use phonics or Phoenician law to do that. And they have to prove intent. And when we consent to be the name, the legal fiction at all by carrying any sort of identification, period, which I have none. The only thing I carry is proof of their fraud called the birth certificate. They have no jurisdiction. The minute you claim that name, you cannot argue jurisdiction. It's and I all these gurus that talk about, well, you have to go in and argue this and that. I've you may not be aware, but I was the being in the Judge Bows to Sovereign video that is still viral when it came out September 1st, ironically, same date as the apostolic letter went into effect, but 3 years previous. That was in September 1st, 2010. So, and I got hounded incessantly. There was no ticket, by the way. I like to make that clear. This was the system trying to aid and abet me, test me, and they came to my house that they stole later to try to get me to consent to it. And no, they didn't. The only reason I went in was to show them that you're not going to scare me. And I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but it's been a while trying to decipher that for people. But the fundamental game is, and this applies to all the taxes you're paying, mortgages, everything that is involved in the system, you're doing by your own consent by having a legal name. Because once you remove yourself from that, it's not difficult to do. You just have to think it first. They cannot create legal joinder. Because when you're dealing with the Crown Corporation, I can go through all the semantics of it, but I'll keep it simple. And I'd mentioned phonics or Phoenician law. That's what everything is based on. Phoenician law came 900 years before Roman law. And it's the assumption of assuming and presuming what someone is saying versus what is being spelled out for them. You know the spells, how they like to have their spells, right?
Well, that's quite interesting because that's not entirely dissimilar from how the truth movement works, trying to wake people up. They assume that they know what you're talking about because they're not listening to it.
Yeah, the big difference that happened, it really hinges around the apostolic letter because prior to that, there was immunity. This was what I call the unholy alliance between Rome and London, dragons and the fish, if you will. You have Papa Rome, that's a patriarchal, and you have the crone or crown, C-R-W-N. You can pronounce it crone, which can be spelled C-R-O-N-E. See what I mean about assumption and presumption of sound? The crone corpse or the dead mother, as I call it, she wants her dead babies. That is a spiritual contract that mums and dads are aided and embedded into through deception, non-disclosure, by the crown. The birth certificate is actually proof and evidence of the intent to commit that fraud via non-disclosure, via deception. So we've been using that name thinking it was ours, which it is. The name is yours because once a fraud is revealed, it's null and void, nunc pro tunc. And this is, you kind of have to get into this headspace first before you can manifest it into the physical. It's change your mind, you know, change the universe. You've heard it, and it's quite literal. I deal mainly in allegories to try to explain things to people. So what we have is the crone corpse getting her dead babies via the register. Now, regis means to rule in Latin. Stir means divine feminine creative essence. And when you start looking, you know, following the trails back, go to Black's Law, for example, the word gift is a G-I-F-T, and it means gamete interfallopian transfer. And this is quite a sinister little game, and it's a spiritual game. People keep thinking it's physical. It's not. The physical is the effect of this game. So I'm trying to bring people out of the physical trap where they are trying to do, and they haven't got a clue, right? Because they don't know who they are yet. So with the intent, there you have the gamete interfallopian transfer that when mom and dad gift, that's why they call it a given name, it's a gift, and you pay for it too. Oh, there you see, I told you about the saw, right? Anyway, what happens there?
I have a saw going outside my house too.
Just a coincidence, right? But getting back, the gift, what? The gamete, every human embryo starts off as what gender? Female. So they are literally going back to conception with the gift intent. So it's a spiritual trap. So when mom and dad give the name and they pay for it, so it's real gift, they're actually paying the deceivers to take that name and create the fictional legal straw name with it. And this is fact. The system is absolutely powerless, and this is coming from very top people. And right now, the lawyers and judges and politicians and town councilors and mayors especially, I'm going to talk about mayors, because people don't think they elect judges. They do. They're called mayor. It's the chief justice of their corporation, the city, right? So what they've done then is, from an ethereal perspective, is they've claimed the divine feminine, the gamete, through the gift given to the crown. So it's a spiritual contract, because the name that you think you have, your mom and dad thought it up, not you. See, my name is mine. I gave it to myself. I chose my name. It wasn't given to me. So it's a big difference. That's how I fully broke that. But the name was always yours, because when a fraud is revealed, which is what the birth certificate is, it's null and void. So it reverts back. But you have to become aware of this. Like I said, it's a spiritual game. It's everyone is walking this road alone, but now we're walking the road alone together. So we have a collective versus a mass consciousness. That's why this movement is kicking some serious butt right now. And we have, there's, if you go to my blog or webpage, kateofgaia.wordpress.com, there's a link there, a tab for Kate's writings. I would suggest to people, don't take my word for it. I've been in this game 12, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for 4 years solid. I haven't had a paycheck in 4 years. I subsist on people helping to keep me at this table, so to speak. But let's get back to the Unholy Alliance of Rome and London. So what happened with the apostolic letter on July 11th when it came out, what Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, the living man, what he did was he ripped the entire protective immunity veil off all judges, lawyers, politicians, everyone on the planet.
Did you say Jorge Bergoglio? It sounds like some kind of Italian porn name.
It could be. He's actually, I believe, from Chile. That's where he was born. It's Espanol. And what he did for humanity. Now, you got to remember, My roads go back to digging very deep into the Vatican in order to find to shine the brightest, you go to the darkest place. And it's not without contest that the Vatican for many centuries has been deemed that very dark place. Santo Bonacci and myself have covered this many times. So during this walk to get where we are now, there was a lot of things I can't even begin to sum up, in 2 hours, let alone, a year to try to explain everything that I've been through, some pretty wild things, and what has happened as a net result of it. What I do know is this. There's a document on the kateofgaia.wordpress.com site called I Who Shall Not Be Legally Named. It is a servable to clerk. You don't go to court. If you step in a courtroom, you're already in their jurisdiction. You're done. This was unfolded 3 years ago with the Judge Bowes video, very clearly. What you do with this document, you need to talk to the walkers between the worlds. The most powerful being in the courtroom is the clerk. So you want to talk to them outside of the courtroom. The judge is just there. He looks like, or she looks like, the most powerful being in the courtroom, but they're actually the lowest link. They have no power. The real power comes from through the clerk, because it's the clerk that takes our energy. They're the ones that sort the files, take the money, and sign off on things. A document isn't valid without a clerk's signature. The judge can sign it all day long, but without the clerk's stamp, it is a useless, spiritually empty document. So with the I Who Should Not Be Legally Named, there's an essay on my page as well called The Long and Short of It, as in the long form birth certificate, short form birth certificate, which explains what it is that document is. It's already shutting courts down. That coupled with the apostolic letter and a copy of the birth certificate, which you enter as evidence with whatever you have. I don't care what it is, foreclosure, parking tickets. You file it into the court clerk and you walk away. And what happens now, and this is about planting seeds, what happens now is, in order to create any joinder with you, those in the crown have to now aid and abet you into doing so. You don't have any name. I'll give you an example. A friend of ours the other day, she was 12 hours in an interrogation room, of course, handing out my documents and stuff. She'd been doing that for a few days. And, of course, she would never give up her name, and she didn't. So she basically, as she said, I was bored for 12 hours. A couple of the cops that came in, check on her, she handed them the documents, they threw them away. The last guy that came in just before they let her go, because I can't hold you, she'd handed him one of the translations, this is in Holland, of these documents. And he read through it, and as she said, all he did was gave her a smile, and then she was gone. This is a game of awakening to who you are. People keep wanting to fist fight and trust law this and UCC that, opt, all the rest of it. Anything that is dealing in the legal realm is absolute fiction. You haven't got a clue who you are, and you are walking right into the hornet's nest in the Crown jurisdiction by your consent. So tell me who's guilty.
No, that's a really brilliant idea. I'm going to expose the fraud by participating in it.
Right. So what we do...
I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense there. You know, just trying to weigh it up, you know, exposing fraud, participating in it. Aren't you perpetuating it by participating in it? Well, actually, I am. Yes, as well. That's precisely what I'm doing. Well, hold on a second here. If there is a legal remedy, that means... that the legal system actually has some kind of credibility. And I don't think that it actually does and hasn't had for quite some time. And we're coming off to break just momentarily here, Kate. And the website is kateofgaia.wordpress.com. That's kateofgaia.wordpress.com, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be right back after the break.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. This all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Ashwood Show. A lot of people accuse me of being Superman, but I'm not. I don't have all his powers. I do shoot laser beams out of my eyes if you ever see David Rockefeller's ass, though. And my very special guest is Kate of Gaia from kateofgaia.wordpress.com. We're talking about legal fiction. Is there anything that is legal that ain't a fiction?
No, that's why as we were on the break there, I said to you, you don't play with them. The only one you can, and you're not in court when you talk to the clerk, when you go to the wicket or window or whatever it is, you're not in court. The only time you're in court is when you cross the threshold. That's why anything that I have, it's about planting seeds. It's about giving it to the clerk, serving it to them with the file numbers and stuff on it to let them know that any continuance of it, you're actually aiding and abetting in fraud. And now that's why I say the apostolic letter, because these guys are fully aware of their immunity being removed, and it's scaring them. It's scaring them hardcore. We got people quitting. One example, a friend of mine sent me a short story about a kid he grew up with. His dad was a barrister in Ireland, and because of his workload, he had to rent an apartment away from the home. And on weekends, when he came home, he was always in his study working. And he ended up bumping into this father at a, you know, like a park bench as he was drunk and spilling curry down him. He was a destroyed man, and he had asked him what had happened. Well, after 30 years of doing this, the family basically disowned him. And a week before he was to retire, they finally came clean and told him what was really going on. And it literally destroyed him. That's what finished him. And that's why, and this is exactly what's going on. Most of the judges and lawyers in the system haven't a clue as to what's really going on. I spent a lot of time exposing the fraud of the Guelph Police Department, Mayor Karen Farbridge, or Chief Justice Karen Farbridge, and their criminality, and the amount of other things that went into literal conspiracy, conspiring to commit crimes, fraudulent land transfers. I could write a book just on the list of laws that these people broke in their system. You know, those that make the rules must obey them. It's a Roman maxim. And they've sworn their allegiance to a box of cornflakes, i.e. the crown, the corporate fiction. And as the net result, they're all walking around, as we are, with false impersonation. That's what you're committing. When you use identification of any kind, you are actually false impersonating. If you go to Black's Law, definition of false impersonation, interesting that the last part of it is usually a law enforcement officer for the purpose of deceiving someone. It doesn't say someone dressed up as a police officer that isn't a police officer. It says usually a law enforcement officer for the purpose of deceiving someone. So they spell it out quite clearly. And when you know how to read that book properly, a whole new world comes out. And it's not what most people, the vast majority, would expect. And it took us a while to really bring this one home to people, to explain the amount of things that have occurred, you know, coincidences, weird things happening with what I was doing, up to the point where I was kidnapped at gunpoint in front of my home for the crime of taking my daughter to a birthday party, and of course, kidnapped me, holding me for 7.5 hours while they SWAT raided my home. And kidnapped my partner and my youngest daughter at gunpoint as well. You see, when you're carrying around a loaded gun with one in the chamber, which is what police do, that is attempted murder with intent. End of story. And all of these people, these guys that are thinking they're immune with their uniforms, are actually in a state of double and false impersonation. Not only are they using a name that does not belong to them. It was registered. It's theirs. Let them have it. And nothing to do with me. I've got my name, you got yours, and I don't have a legal name. But not only are they doing that, but they've sworn an oath to a fictitious corporation called the Crown here in Canada or anywhere. Doesn't matter. Where they're putting on a uniform, false impersonating a law enforcement officer for the purpose of deceiving someone. So these guys and girls that are in these law enforcement and bailiff and all the rest of it are actually walking around committing treason every time they ask someone for a name, because what they're doing, and I don't want to get caught up in the semantics of the word sovereign, what they're doing is they're coming against the living being. And this is why you've seen the allegories in movies, you know, zombie movies, the zombie series. They're trying to tell everyone in this wonderful illusion we live in that you're all walking dead. You're all zombies. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And when we walk around carrying identification of any kind, which I don't, no one comes near me. They don't want anyone coming near me because I educate them too much. And there's a different level I play at. But what you're doing is you're actually admitting to being dead by consent. You know, take a driver's license. By the way, the word license comes from licentious. Licentious means to be sexually and morally depraved, a criminal. And there's a big list there. So if you're carrying around a license, that's what you're saying. And people wonder, why do cops beat people up and kill them? They get away with murder, literally. Typically here in Canada, there's over 500 people a year killed in custody and never a charge. There might be a wrist slap. You might get a desk job for a while. You might even have the outcome of you losing your job. Oh, no, right? Recently, last week, a week and a half ago, and I love how they only pick on one cop, but you know, Guelph Police, big scandal again with one of their cops with no less than 28 steroid syringes in his locker in the police station. Of course, he's, you know, no other cop would see that, being the investigators that they are. But not only that, he had overdosed on methadone when they go and, you know, get drug raids and stuff. So these guys are helping themselves to it. And of course, it was one cop and his partner got kind of pushed aside. But this involves the entire Guelph police force. And I've exposed many. Give you like another one, Vincent Hawk, the deputy chief of the Ontario Provincial Police here, was involved in investigating a crime regarding a cottage property with a couple of corrupt companies. They're all corrupt. And another friend of mine, and it turns out that this very same deputy chief, Vincent Hawks of the Ontario Provincial Police, ends up getting this property he was supposed to be investigating for all these frauds for $160,000 below market value. And they call this justice. You know, this is the boys club, the Thin Blue Line club. And I've spent a lot of time exposing this, and I speak very freely about it. Am I in fear? No, they can't touch a legal, they can't touch a living. They can only play with the legal. And that's why you literally stand in immunity. And more importantly, with the apostolic letter coming out, all the spiritual power of that contract, mom and dad, the patriarchal Rome and the whore of Babylon, commerce, crone corpse, Papa kicked her out of bed. And shortly after, if you remember the story, right after that came out, what did HSBC do? London, City of London, state, that's a country. They kicked the Vatican out of all their banks. And keep in mind that HSBC is complete 100% controlling share of anachronism a company called SWIFT, which handles all electronic money transfers around the planet. So the Unholy Alliance is broke. The apocalypse, you know, they talk, you hear people talking about, you know, the apocalypse and it's all Armageddon and all this. No, it's an allegory. Apocalypse actually translates etymologically into a leather covering. It's a veil. So the apocalypse occurred on July 11th. The veil was lifted. And as a result, all of these false impersonators who think they're protected because of their system are now completely exposed. The emperor is naked. Pretty cool, huh?
If you say so, because nobody's heard about that. Well, or at least very few have heard about it.
Yes, why I'm here, Vinny.
It's much like the allegory, does it, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? If a maxim of law that that actually frees humanity gets passed and put out into public, but the public's not told about it, does it actually make a difference?
Well, that's the thing. Ignorance of the law is no defense of or from the law. And people keep thinking that's the laws in the books. No, this is universal law.
So this is BS, though, because the cops don't know what 99.999% of the frickin' laws are themselves because they're so frickin' stupid. I had a friend from Australia who had an IQ test as part of his police exam, and he failed his police exam on account of the IQ test being too high.
He was over 90. They want jarheads. They want the ex-military, the meat sticks to come in that like pumping up on methadone and steroids and stuff. And this is the same crew. This goes back to 2011 where this guy was originally charged. And it was this same crew that came and kidnapped me and my family. And I went back to the house as a living being. And I spent 28 days in solitary. But here's the interesting thing. The former chief of police, Robert Davis, ended up getting fired 2 weeks into my solitary because he overstepped the boundaries. It's very difficult for me to explain the experience of what I've been through, but everything that we're talking about right now is all absolutely confirmed. Everything is real. This is not imagined. This is how the system shuts down. And more of these jarheads, yeah, they're crazy guys. The videos are coming out. What you're seeing is this whole system inside imploding. This is evil destroying itself. And we're at that point right now. We're not only there's other things in the works I'm not at liberty to talk about right now, but there are things in the works right now that will involve enforcing verdicts from real, not the shill Kevin and Nett type common law, but real common law. Because even though there has been a corporate veil over top of this, the common law never left. This is why when you see oaths of peace officers, they're actually acting as both. They have a choice to act in common law as a peace officer or a corporate policy enforcer as a policy or police officer. And these guys, like you said, yeah, if your IQ is too high, if you can catch on to stuff too much, they're not interested. They want you some jacked up God complex, low IQ bully or one who is bullied seeking revenge. And they want you walking around out there with a 9mm penis extension on your hip playing God. And why do people expect anything different from that type of sociopathic psychopathy that we refer to as law enforcement? Yes, there are some good people in there, some really well-meaning. I'll give you an example. The guy,
and they leave.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, here's a prime example. The same chief of police in Guelph, Robert Davis, his deputy chief, Brent Eden, As soon as he got the job, this is the joy of being transgender, because you get your brows done and you hear shit, right? So as it turns out, Brent Eden, the deputy chief, was almost suicidal when he found out what was really going on, because the chief had told him what was going on. And he had to do 3 years of his job as a deputy chief in order to get his $75,000 a year payoff for retirement. But he left after that 3 years. Now, here was a prime example of what real men wouldn't do. Here's a guy with an opportunity, sees the scam that the system is, and this is lawyers talking. The whole system is a scam, and the only people keeping it going are those that are you know, playing in it. You got to shut it down. Here's a guy that's taken $75,000 a year, and that's a lot of fraud that these other cops have to collect from people. You figure $7,500, that's 75 people with $750 people with $100 fines just to keep that coward paid, you know? And there's where the problem really lies, is because those inside, when they find out what's going on, they either get run out, which is the case a lot of the times, or they quit in fear, or in the case of someone like Brent Eden, not only do they quit, they still take their filthy lucre and are still aiding and abetting in the crimes that are happening in the city not 40 minutes from me. And that's the same in the city I'm in right now. It's the same in every city. And I am I'm well known. Let's just say there aren't too many people in the system that don't know who I am, because I'm an avid emailer and I'm an avid caller out on the air. I do it 7 nights a week. This is what I do, and this is all I do. This is why I'm so happy to be here, Vinny. Thank you so much to be able to share it with an even bigger audience. And I know there are people that are contacting others to get this word out, because this is the key to get this game over. The birth certificate is what got us into the crime, into the fraud, and it's the key that gets us out. You just have to learn how to turn the tables. That's why I call this Operation Jesus in the Temple, right? We keep it light. We keep it allegorical, right? And it's about turning the tables on these guys. They're committing fraud. They know it. And we're just showing them now, and now they have no immunity. It's beautiful.
Oh, man. I wish. Isn't it funny? You think about people who are criminals, like judges, cops, lawyers, that kind of thing. I'm not saying that they're all criminals, but you just think about it. What have they done to people that has hurt them and put them in jail, abused them, or locked in solitary confinement, murdered on occasion, and something of that forth? Now, is just when the crimes that you visit on others get visited upon you? We'll be right back after the break at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Kate of Gaia is my guest. And I always hope that there would be a system of law, real law, by which people's personal possessions and themselves, their person, would be secure from any form of scumbaggery. This is the reason why I fear judges. This is the reason why I fear police. This is the reason why I fear criminal gangs as well, because they don't have any respect for the law.
Nope. That's the biggest thing. And you were mentioning the golden rule, to put it in short. Every crime that these guys have done, by their actions, they're already known. There's no judgment required, because one knows what one's actions are. And the thing about people like me is I have a paper trail as long as this continent. And every step of the way, every crime these guys did with me, they were emailed, they were notified, they were shown, because I knew who I was. And for a matter of record, my dad passed away in 2011, and I had to get his ashes back to Ireland. That's where I'm from. And at that point, I had no identification at all. And I contacted the British High Consulate in Ottawa. For those that live in Canada, it was kind of a weird thing that all of a sudden now, instead of getting your passport through Ottawa, you had to go to Washington, D.C. to get it. Well, that's where Canada's registered, right?
See, that's described as an auto wah, wah, wah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was having none of it. And I contacted the British High Consulate, was in contact with a gentleman by the name of Page. And over the span of a few days, 3 or 4 hours of phone calls, I got full admission that it is, in fact... And I said to him, I did not want to commit fraud by using a name that does not belong to me. It was given, that legal name was is property of the Crown. It says right on the birth certificate, not to be used for identification purposes, and it's Crown copyright. And being a songwriter and very well versed in all things legal, especially copyright law, trust law, etc., that to me was fraud. I knew much of what I'm saying right now back then. It's just getting easier to explain it to people. But I had full admission that, yes, of course, anything that you do with that name is, in fact, fraud. Any use of it is you're committing fraud, a false impersonation. And this was confirmed at the British High Consulate. And I got my emergency passport. I've never been through customs so quickly in my life. It was like this big, get them through. I laughed because every time I've been back and forth to Ireland, I'm an easy target, right? I'm the white being, right? So you can pull me off into immigration and get interrogated by someone that just landed in the country like a year before, right? But anyway, that being said, yeah, no issues getting there and back. It was an emergency passport. I still have it. And that was, for me, the largest confirmation that really solidified everything that I had been doing up to that point and have done since. And this whole game is triggered with the name. If you consent to be it, then you're done. You're toast. This is why, you know, people, I laughed at these Occupy Wall Street things and all the protests and you said, well, we'll get you a lawyer, you know, as they're dragging some poor slave off, right? The thing is, if you're in their jurisdiction, if you are consenting to be dead, they can't harm you. In a spiritual sense, because you've already deemed yourself dead by being an id entity, right? Identification. So you really have to separate yourself from that. And because we've been conditioned for lifetimes into being part of the system, go ahead, try and operate without credit cards and debit cards. I do. I don't have bank accounts, nothing. I have had nothing for years. And it is not an easy existence. But it is one that for me, that's my piece of the puzzle that I must hold. And I hold that. We all have, you have your piece, Vinny. I have mine, that we hold for everyone in terms of humanity. That's the game I play. It's a spiritual game. And, the proofs
hold. I've been told by a number of people, like, I still, register my car and so on and so forth. I still carry ID and,
right.
They say that I'm a coward because I do that, and saying that all I'm doing is basically just on the radio, and that I'm weak or so on and so forth. And I understand that argument to a degree. However, it's about priority. Okay, so I can either A, try and free myself from the legal fiction and so on and so forth, spend a month in solitary confinement and go through all the other rigmarole, being pulled over by cops for no reason and having really kind of going up against their fraud on a consistent basis, or I can host this radio show and give a platform to people who are doing what I can't.
That's where we're on the same page, you see, because of what some of us are built to do this, right? This is the responsibility of, people like Dean Clifford, myself, and so many others. We ended up being in the limelight because of our stance. But again, I know I was built to do this. I know what my life purpose is, and you nailed it on the head. And that's what I tell people that come to me and say, well, Kate, you know, I've got this and that. I said, chill. It's about changing this and knowing who you are and what is your purpose, what is your intent. Now we're dealing in a different game. We're dealing in a spiritual, and having platforms like you say there are absolutely critical. And for me, it's about getting that message, the right message, out to people. And when people get this, they can at least start making the baby steps. You know, cut. If you want to make it simple, take a library card and cut it in half with intent that that's not you. And you're starting to change your mind in that regard. So the day is coming very quickly where all the identification you have is not going to be needed anyway, because this whole system is, it has been based in fraud since 1694. That's when the Crown Corporation, known as the Bank of England, came into effect, where the living crown was replaced with the dead one, the corpse, the Crown Corpse. By the way, I should mention that there is only one owner of the Bank of England. It is held by the title office of the Treasury Solicitor. And that gentleman, if you want to call him that, is Sir Paul Jenkins. So there is one individual that owns the entirety of the Bank of England. If you check the Treasury Solicitor office, you'll see that they have over 600 lawyers and barristers to, you know, handle all this stuff. But it's interesting that the Treasury Solicitor is known as the Corporation Sole, S-O-L-E. Phonics, Sole, S-O-U-L. And that's how the courts have been screwing people all along. The minute you open your mouth, that's the second that assumption and presumption takes over. You've heard the expression, the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Not maybe. They will use it against you. It's like if I say to you the word right, which one did I say? Right? I can assume whatever I want. And that's how this system is based on assumption and presumption. And they can assume and presume anything they want to make sure they get you nailed with intent. And a friend of mine the other day had said to me, you know, the courts win 96% of the time. And I said, no, they don't. The courts win 100% of the time. They let 4% of the people win to give people the lottery illusion that you can. The same way that a casino, the house always wins, right? The casino will have a one-armed bandit on occasion pay out, you know, large money, and everyone thinks they get excited and they go, oh, look, we can win. No. This is a numbers game. And as long as they can keep the illusion that people can win, well, I won this lawsuit. No, you didn't. What you did was you gave the judges and the lawyers their little script that they can play to milk the bond that is just getting, that debt is getting spiritually added to you. See, when we take out loans and stuff, that debt gets added to the bond. That's how the bonds go up in value. It's based on debt and the amount of debt we get. Okay, it's not the other way around, right? And that money is illusional. You see, when you start looking at money, say you guys use dollars down there, New Zealand dollars, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. If you take one of your New Zealand dollars and you divide it into 7.3 billion points of light, that's what $1 represents. So what changes there in the perspective is, instead of you have all these people worshiping money and wealth and they want to, you know, claw over their neighbor and, you know, sell their mom to get to the almighty high pile, right? That's worshiping the one eye, mono eye, money. And with me, it's about every dollar I get, I treat it with reverence because I know what each dollar represents. So it's a whole different mindset. Now, all the money, the fiat currency that we deal with, you know, they talk about, well, everything's debt and they make it out of thin air. No, they don't. It's a spiritual contract. And all the money on this planet, owned by the Rothschilds, Bank of England through that, is created off the birth bonds. You see, typically a birth bond for the average individual starts out at $1 million. And that's what they do when you register the child. Think of it the same way as you register a car. It's the same thing. It's chattel. And what
it sounds a lot like Morpheus. You, like everybody else, is born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot see or smell or taste or touch.
Not born into it. That's the trick. We are deceived into it, typically 3 days after you're born. In my case, June 15th, 1964, allegedly is the day I got here. And on June 18th, the fraud was committed with the registration. And the proof of the fraud is very simple. If there's a registration office, then that means that there was intent, real intent, on behalf of some living individual to deceive, giving up their children to slavery.
Mm, indeed. Well, we've come to the end of our first hour now. We have Kate of Gaia from kateofgaia.wordpress.com as my guest. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back in just a few minutes for the second hour. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and steroid raging guts, if you lose a sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. And my very special guest is Kate of Gaia. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And again, and a little break there, I really want to drive this point home. We all have our roles to play here. Covered this a lot this morning on the show I did today already. This is 2 of 3, by the way, Vinny, so I bit of a glutton for punishment. But just to let people know, and I just said to you, I'm glad you said it the way you did. Some of us are built for this, doing what I do, what Dean does, and others. And others have another role to play in getting that word out. And talking with you, you're fully aware of that. And you'd mentioned about a very real thing that most people experience, that there is a level of trepidation, there is a level of fear. I mean, you've got guys walking around in SS black, fully militarized, you know, police uniforms, carrying fully automatic weapons, bulletproof vests, and they walk around with a god complex. And that is absolutely designed to intimidate. And most people don't want to have to deal with that. I got to be honest, I didn't want to have to deal with it, but I knew, well, my simple question is this: if not me, then who can do this? And the answer is always, well, you better do it, because you know you can, you're a bit of a stubborn Irish bitch. So I have no problems getting in people's faces. I've been on stage all my life, I'm a musician, right? So, which actually adds to that comfort zone in that you never let them see you sweat. It's like in the Judge Bows to Sovereign video, very calm. And I wasn't taking anything from that guy, because I knew at that point, even then, I knew it was powerless. And when you start standing in that sort of a light, that energy flows off you. And I've watched cops back away from me. And it's not because I'm threatening. I mean, the worst thing I do is I smile and I make them accountable. And I want to go back to the golden rule too, because everything that these guys have done, guys and girls, that they have done, they ought to know better. And that's the ignorance of the law. If you're harming someone, just because someone says that it's okay, you know, it's like a parent saying to a child, go over and smack your brother or smack your sister in the head, and they go over and do it, and they harm the other kid. Well, mom or dad said it was okay. And that's exactly what we're dealing with in this mamby-pamby nanny state that all these supposed law enforcement officers who have literally sworn an oath to a box of cornflakes, they might as well have, because it's an illusional fiction. Even the Crown lawyers, and we're talking some top dogs here that I've been in contact with and from sources, are saying this: it's the whole system is illusion, and the only thing that keeps it going is that fear. So this is where and there are countless millions of us around the world now, and there are more and more people standing and getting in, like everyday people that have just had enough. And they're handing out little, I've done, on my website, there's a bunch of one-page handouts. Did you know you're a criminal? Geared for the post office, geared for, you know, hospital registers, to let these people know, because they don't know. And this is why I'm not going to walk around and you know, beat up five-year-old retarded children. That's not how you do it. You nurture, you use compassion, and you educate. And all these little documents are, I call them seeds. What you're doing is planting a seed. So you be the good farmer, you plant the seed, You don't stand there in the field waiting to see if it's going to grow. You let nature take its course. Plant the intention. Put the intention there and make these individuals accountable. And once they start getting the notion, truth always resonates. This is one of the joys of truth. When you tell somebody something that is true, they know it. You don't have to explain it. And it just resonates to the core of their being, because we're not learning anything. We are merely remembering that which we've already known. And here we are in the game.
Which is why they, a lot of the time, just get so freaking angry and start attacking you, the messenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've lost count, and it's all good. You know, my attitude is very simply this, and I'm really, really mouthy on my show because this is my table, right? I can do what I want. I'm more polite on these shows. But I have no fear calling people out by name. I have no problem calling people out via email and letting them know, yeah, I'm watching you. And they know who I am. I have been the subject of so many intel reports, I've lost count. Hamilton Hate Crimes Unit. I mean, I was a topic of discussion for a long time, and right up to the point where they literally broke all the rules, spiritual rules in the book, by attacking me and my family, knowing full well that they had no jurisdiction whatsoever. I wasn't in their fictional world, and they can assume and presume all they want, but those crimes will be rectified, and the day of reckoning is at hand. We have, like I said, there are things in the works right now where the real law, the real common law of the living people, i.e. people like me that know who we are forming these juries, and there is enforcement. The tide has turned. I need people to know this. This is not about having hope. There is no hope where certainty is already in place. And we always knew this day would come. This is the time that we have been working for, that we have been waiting for. And it's only through diligence of so many people. And I've stood on the shoulders of giants. I've got some beautiful friends, Mary Croft, Santa Bonacci, Dean Clifford, all of these people. These are all friends. And I've conversed on many occasions. And we're all on the same page. And we know what's going on. And like Franco Collins did a beautiful breakdown on motu proprio on his website. I think it's Eucadia. And he's done some great work. And one of the joys about like people like Franco Collins is, and myself, you know, I played the legal game. You know, lawyers and judges are an easy snack. I had a lot of fun with them because it's easy to twist their words because that's all they do. And I'm a songwriter. I know how to twist words. And, you know, what we've discovered, and Frank has been coming out, you know, things that we have talked about previously that were effective then because that layer hadn't been peeled yet are absolutely useless. And right now, anything that anyone is trying to do with any level of awakening is going to get them in trouble because the name has been completely revealed for the fraud that it is. Again, I who shall not be legally named spells it out. So now the only thing I carry with me, and it's only because it's fun, is a birth certificate. If anyone was to ever approach me, fool, if they were ever to approach me, the only thing I would give them, well, this is the only thing the government ever gave my parents. And they can't use it. Because if they were to use that document, they would be aiding and abetting you hardcore into crime. Something else I wanted to say about that. It just passed me, but it'll come back. I'm trying to get all the little sound bites that can register with people. There's the other thing too, the word register, to rule the divine feminine creative essence. They've literally stolen our divine feminine. That's the crone, the dead crone. That's the allegory. And where was it going there? See what I mean? There's just so many little things that I want to get across to people, and I don't really get a chance to talk at this level too often because the people.
I find what happens is you have an idea in your head, and then you start explaining the idea, and then there's one word or so whilst you're explaining that idea that you want to just kind of explain, and then you forget what you were trying to explain in the first place overall. And it happens all the time.
It's the register. It's the Gemini Mercury is going off here, right? The register anything here's the thing. People talk about that's my property and this is my car and this is my kid and all the rest of it. No, it's not, because you registered it. Anything registered is owned by the Crown. You have surrendered it willfully via consent. Now, if you
is that why they want you to register all your firearms, eh?
Everything. Because when you register something, what you've done is you've willfully given consent to saying it's yours. Now, if you carry a license, say for owning firearms or an ownership for a car, the instant you present that, you are saying, I'm a thief, I stole this. Literally. Because it has, there's your proof you're handing to them. It has the all caps name, right? That you're using as a false impersonation. Plus, they have the VIN of their VINI. They got the VIN of the car, vehicle identification number, and all the particulars about it. So what they've got in an ownership is joinder between the thief, the one that you're acting as, and what you stole. Now, that might sound a little far-fetched, but this is legal in their world, legal fact. And this is how they've been getting us. So if you have a registered mortgage, the house ain't yours, you're a tenant. And they can come
Can I ask?
They want.
Where does the phrase far-fetched come from? Is it like when you throw a ball way too far for your dog to go and fetch?
Must be, yeah. And the whole system is far-fetched. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know, there's a very interesting allegory. We are the dogs trying to fetch a stick that has been thrown way too far.
Yep. And there's someone standing in front of that stick with a gun saying, stop, thief. And I love the allegory. You know, ever want to see dogs chasing a car? Well, it's easy. Just look for the red and blue flashing lights, right? They have dog tags for a reason. And that's what their masters treat them as. This is a sad part, you know, because you've got the dogs, you know, traffic cops, whatever, and then you got the slightly higher dogs, detectives, and then you have the slightly higher dogs all the way up the line. And what these people don't realize is we're the ones trying to help them. Because of what we know, everything that was ever done through a bank was pure fraud. Bank accounts, it's not your account. They can take whatever they want. So people have said, well, Kate, why don't they do that? Well, because they're quite content just taking 90% of everything you have and keeping the illusion alive instead of really pissing you off and taking everything where you have nothing and the whole system's exposed. So this is about pushing the maxim of greed to its nth degree. And what we're dealing with right now is the system collapsing in against itself. This is why the U.S. economy will not recover, because all the money based on the birth bonds, that divine feminine ethereally has been reclaimed because we've exposed the fraud on the birth certificate. That's it. The fraud is revealed, null and void, nunc pro tunc, as above, so below. So I look from the spiritual causal aspect to see the physical effect as it manifests. And that takes a bit of practice to get there, but once you get there, it's amazing that there are no longer any coincidences. You see your yellow brick road crystal clear, and you follow your path. And that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. And the scarecrow tells you, you could go both ways.
Yep.
And isn't it interesting as well, because also there's a lot of controversy with this type of lawful remedy that people like yourself are attempting to apply, is that there are a number of people who think that they've got it sorted but don't, and a lot of people who listen to those people who wind up suffering greatly at the hands of basically themselves and their own volition.
Yeah, I've often said that to people, you know, that come up to me. I said, well, I used Winston Shrout's technique, or I used Dean Clifford's technique, and it didn't work. And I said, no, you didn't. You used your interpretation with a vast lack of experience as to what these people have, your interpretation of it. So don't be handing off to somebody else. And I've told people that. If you're going to stand, you better know who you are. And the reason why I can is because I do. And I take full accountability for all of my actions. What I'm showing people right now is you should never be in a courtroom. That's a fact. Because as soon as you are, you're automatically in their jurisdiction unless you know how to hold that and claim the common law. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's what I did 3 years ago. But right now, the immunity is gone. And what we're doing, there's a group of people, and this is a worldwide thing that's going on behind the scenes right now, And you will start to see this unfold shortly. As soon as the details come to me, I bring them to the table, and I am one of the people that are directly involved in this. So can't really say a whole lot right now, but let's just say it's a beautiful thing. The world is changing, and I don't care what your false impersonation is, officer, mayor. Oh, there's something else I want to stress to people, too. I've asked people here in Canada, do we elect judges here? And they go, no, you don't. No, we don't. I say, absolutely you do. And they, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you elect a mayor, do you not? Well, yeah, that's not a judge. No, that is a judge. That is the highest judge in that jurisdiction. They're called the Chief Justice. When you're in a town hall meeting, you're actually in court. We had a mayor from a city north of me here last week, whatever. A friend of mine was in and had kind of held their feet to the fire. And this mayor turned to him and said, get out of my court. That's why they have, cops in there. You have the alderman. If you think back to the old days of ecclesiastical court, you have the bishop and, or the cardinal and all the bishops. That's your cardinal and bishop's allegory with the mayor and the alderman. Of course, they have the county clerk. Got to have a court clerk, the one that handles all the money. And, of course, they have their guards, bailiffs, or security, whatever they want. That's why people get thrown out of town hall meetings, because they're actually in court. And they have no jurisdiction or claim to it because they're using a legal name. They're carrying identification. That's why it's assumed and presumed. That's why cops will tase people. That's why they will beat them. That's why they will shoot them. We'll be tied to fool that would ever even think of coming near me with that, but they won't. I deal in a different game. I know who I am, and I know where I stand. So it's not that big a stretch. The hardest thing for people to get their heads around is, one, they've been committing fraud and are willfully committing fraud by using identification unknowingly. It's really that simple.
If I go to a club and they say, oh, you have to be 18 in order to enter, and I go, okay, here's my ID. I've just committed fraud because I'm telling them that this 18-year-old man on this piece of plastic here that is in all capital letters is me. When the reality is, I don't spell my name. Is there anybody else out there who, when you put your name down on something, you put it down in all capital letters? Capitis, diminutio, maxima. No. You know why? Because that's what you do when you're identifying a corporation. Okay, and this is the thing. Corporations have no souls, do they? Despite what the Supreme Court says, they don't have any souls.
Actually, they do, Vinny. It's called the Corporation Soul, Bank of England.
Is that what they call a soul trader?
Right. Now, look at the word trader and traitor. Which one did I say? The one in Wall Street or the one
that... bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I think the traitors on Wall Street are traitors to Wall Street and the United States and the people and pretty much every kind of form of justice imaginable, which is why they do so much coke and hire so many escorts, statistically speaking, of course.
Absolutely. They got to keep the game going for themselves, right? Again, I'm going back to Phoenician law. That's the only thing that every language has in common is sound. And I can pick out etymological – I would need another show just to start going into the wordplay and how phonics works. It's crazy. Here's a quick one. When I say the word refuse to you, what did I say?
Trash.
Okay, how about to
read... Like the refuse that you dump out in the side of the road into a garbage bin or whatever, yeah.
All right, when you connect two electrical things back together, what have you done? You've refused them. That's why they say, do you refuse to have a lawyer? You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. We got messages, so let's go.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with another message after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back. I've been a Reno star. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that shows utter contempt for scumbaggery and then gets held in contempt by said scumbaggery, especially when it's wearing a dark Masonic robe. And my very special guest is Kate of Gaia from kateofgaia.wordpress.com. Yeah.
All good, my friend. Let's talk about seals, not the ones we beat with clubs. Fair?
Yeah. Well, what were the things? Is warranty is void if the seal is broken, and the seal pups are very afraid of a particular type of music known as club beats. All right, perfect. Now go ahead and tell us about the difference between a seal. Okay. And a signature.
Signature is cursive. Again, I get people to start listening to what they're saying and hearing versus being spellbound the way we were taught in school, very methodically to think of a word in a certain way. Give you an example of the crazy rules of English and why you shouldn't have any anyway. Take the words daughter and laughter, or is it dafter and lauder? You see what I'm saying? Switch one letter and the rest of the word completely shifts. It's like the endings of words, T-I-O-N. We pronounce it shun, like association instead of association. So, again, when you say the phonics, when you shun something, you're pushing it away. So go back to the word refuse. If they always ask you, do you refuse to have a lawyer? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because the common understanding is to, I don't want that, I refuse that, or garbage, it's refuse. Or it can also be like an electrical circuit to refuse two things together. When things are fused, they're joined. And that's what they're trying to do, is create that phonetic joinder. And we enter it with ignorance. That's why when they say you have the right to remain silent, shut up. Silence is golden. So a signature uses, when we use handwriting, it's cursive. Cursive. We're cursing ourselves spiritually, literally, allegorically. A seal is the highest covenant you can have. When I seal anything, I use the only proof positive identification I have for me, the true me, the as above, so below, ether and physical, which is blood. Blood is both plasma, ether, and water, physical. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Walter Russell's work, Robert Otte and Mark Presti. I've talked with them many times on this. Blood is a very unique. It's not, you can't really even call it a liquid. It's not pumped through your body. It actually implodes through your body energetically. What the heart is a Merkaba or a regulator. The heart does not have the ability to pump blood through a body, you know, once every 20 minutes. Every piece of part of blood goes through every part of your body. The thickest part of a heart wall is 2 millimeters thick. And you're going to ask that to pump literally at you know, think of this, over a lifetime, the thousands upon thousands of pounds of pressure that is exerted against the heart, it doesn't do anything except regulate those implosions. When you understand what blood is, it is both plasma, ether, and physical water. You get a better idea of the true covenant nature of a seal in blood. That's why when you see in the old days, the red wax seals, well, those waxes contain blood. That's why a document, if it wasn't sealed, was worthless, because it has to have a seal as a physical intention to put something physically from your spiritual intent onto a document to seal it. That's why when the crown uses these documents, it's always under seal and held in custody by, right? The fact that this seal was done, seal is a promise or a covenant of the highest order, like motu proprio. It's the same thing. When you sign something, what you're doing is using spellings cursively. And typically any document that anyone would sign, you always see an X where they want you to sign. What that X represents is that they can do anything they want with that signature in terms of fractional reserve banking. So they go fractal with your signature and they can use it. You're giving them permission to use it for anything, to create anything. And I'm going to show you why using the birth certificate is false impersonation, easily provable. If I knew your mom and dad's names before marriage, your mom, her maiden name, where you were born and on what date, I could order your birth certificate. I could order anyone on this planet's birth certificate. That's why it cannot be used for identification. So anyone using it, it is already assumed, presumed to be stolen. So this is how, for me, it was about showing how the system was in complete dishonor versus being honorable. And what puzzled me mostly, watching people going in, very honorable people stating their case, but the dead can't be heard, but stating their case rationally and reasonably. And the next thing you know, they're getting tased, handcuffed, and dragged off to a cell for, you know, a week. I've seen that happen with people. So where are we in dishonor? And I had to figure out how we were more in dishonor than they were. And this is where it ends up. It ends up with the birth certificate, with their intention to aid and abet and commit fraud against us by deceiving via non-disclosure mom and dad. And of course, a birth certificate, anyone can get one from anyone. So they don't know who you are. So you're claiming to be an absolute fiction that could be anyone. That makes you a false impersonator. That makes you a criminal. False impersonation is a capital crime. You're the walking dead. It's that simple. I know that's a tough one for people to swallow because we've spent our lives, well, we need a passport to travel here. And they said, well, Kate, how do you travel? You know, you need this to do this and that. It says, no, you need that because you're trapped. I'm more interested in taking all the borders down. I'm a pilot. I've flown over lots of places. And I've never seen geographical landmarks. Like marks on the ground, this is this county all etched out, or this. You see roads, you see fields, you see houses. You could fly over the Canada-US border and you won't see a big line marked there. You won't see the lines of the provinces. These are all fictional.
If you do that, will you see a predator drone launching a Hellfire missile at you?
Probably not.
Well, at least I hope not. So let me get this straight. Without a passport, you've managed to go from Canada to the U.S., avoiding checkpoints and so on and so forth?
No, I haven't crossed the border that way. I got the emergency passport to go back to Ireland. And right now, the way things are with me, I'm a bit high profile. My job is more important to, and I do my own fair share of stirring shit up. Don't worry about that.
Use those naughty words regulated radio.
I know. I promised to be polite too. You see me go on my show. My apologies.
Not on what Dean Clifford. Dean Clifford is a contractor, so he's up with the language play.
A master carpenter. This is a joke. All right, so it's Dean and I get along great in that regard. Let's get back to the birth certificate. So the fraud is very, very clear. The intent of the crown, those that own it, there are living people there with all this intent because there's someone fleecing someone. So you can't hide behind the corporate veil anymore. And that's what Pope Francis did with the apostolic letter. That was a huge... I think people are just starting to get the idea of what it really is because the system is spinning, and they know the immunity is gone. Their days of criminality are over. More importantly, everything that these guys and girls have done throughout their entire careers, they are guilty of by their actions. Not like there isn't a paper trail, and they're going to be held accountable. That's it. And that might sound like a very bold statement, but no, this is why we're here. We came here to sort this mess out, and they are accountable. By one's actions, one is known. That which you wish upon another, you have wished upon yourself. That was your intention. If someone came up to me and slapped me in the head, then what they're saying to me universally, in universal law sense, is that they wish to be smacked in the head to experience it. And everything that these people are doing against, you know, I don't wish anyone any harm, and the people that have harmed me, I had no intentions of that. But what they're saying is now that they've done this, they wish to experience it. So the golden rule, in order for the pendulum to swing back, must always be in place, and that's the one rule you can't break. There are rules to this game, spiritual rules. It's up to us to wake up to these and stand in truth or be a deceiver. And the deceivers are everywhere right now. It's quite fun to watch the shills spin. It's beautiful.
And that's why it's good to have some friends around you to ensure you remain accountable, called accountability buddies.
Right on. Yeah, I like I said, I've had some very, very interesting experiences face to face with these guys. I've seen the fear up close and personal, and it's quite something to behold. Especially when you have these, like we talked earlier about the jarheads with the, if you get over 90 IQ, you can't be hired as a cop. Just to see them stand there like a deer in the headlights, you know, the head tilted and like the little puppy puzzled and whatever. I remember one, actually this one guy I'm about to name, Craig Nye, constable, unstable, not stable. Craig Nye is actually guilty of a lot of things, one of them including attempted murder of me and my daughter, forcing us through an intersection. And I remember this little Napoleonic complex, Shetty, soulless ones, as I call them, just empty. And I asked him, you call yourself a law enforcement officer. That's a pretty bold statement. Which school did you go to? Yale, Harvard, Princeton? I went 2 weeks at police academy training. Oh, okay. So that makes you a resident expert of law. Okay, I just want to make sure that I knew what I was dealing with, and you know who you are. And this is it. They hand these guys and girls a pocket full of statutes, the money makers, right? You ever check the police stats? They're corporations. They're all registered through Washington Direct Current. That's the energy they want to collect, right? Same with New Zealand, Australia, Canada. All of the countries are all registered through the District of Columbia, which is a country. Washington, D.C., it's a 10-square-mile country. Vatican City is a country. So is the City of London. Now, let's get back to the mayors for a second here. This is an interesting point that most people overlook. The most powerful entity in every jurisdiction is the mayor, chief justice, and also the bishop. Diocese. Equal in role with the patriarchal, matriarchal, unholy alliance, which has severed. But every mayor is accountable to the Lord Mayor. Now, we all know that City of London proper, Greater City of London, within England, has an elected mayor by the people, so a chief justice elected. But the square mile within the City of London has two Lord Mayors. Most people think there's only one. There's two. There is one that is elected within the square mile, and there is also one that is appointed. And guess who appoints the other Lord Mayor? The Pope.
The current Lord Mayor, or no?
Well, there's two Lord Mayors, one you see and one you don't. The one you see is the one that was elected within the City of London proper, like the square mile, right? There's two Londons. One is a country that is sitting smack dab inside a city. And that's where the Temple Bar is. That's the dragons. You know, you hear the allegories of people calling them reptilians. These are allegories. Stop taking this stuff literally, okay? We got reptilian brainstems. We are the entirety of the universe in one. So we need to stop losing all, and get away from all this. As I coined it a long time ago, I call it fear porn. Got to get away from that. Otherwise, you're going to be irrational. You need to see this stuff rationally and lose the emotions. But
just thinking, trying to make a kind of an action to simulate fear point, like, oh no.
it was the only thing I thought was suitable, you know, because everyone gets attracted to it and they're like, oh my God, it's like, and that's why I called it fear porn, you know, throw a porno up in a movie on a screen and people are staring at it, right? So throw fear up and they're staring at it, fear porn. So
yeah, like Fight Club, and it is like, why would anybody want this job as a projectionist? Well, because it offers interesting opportunities, like splicing single frames of pornography into family films.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a pretty funny movie. Good allegory there, too, of the fight with ego within self. And that's what I encounter most of the time. One simple fact is that everyone, every being I ever come into contact with, I know is the most beautiful light essence in the universe, because they're, I'm part of that collective one consciousness, right? They're me, I'm you, whatever. The only thing I get tired of, and I take chainsaws to it, are egos. Or the, as I refer to it, the TLB, the tricky little, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, and people are so convinced that it is them when it's not, because it's an emotional control mechanism that gets a hold of people. Trying to rationalize with an angry man or woman is like trying to baptize a cat. Good luck, you know. When you're dealing with someone that's in an emotional state, you're not going to get very rational, And, you know, we've all had the heated debates where people get really emotional. The next thing you know is they're wanting to pound each other's heads in. That's the ego program in full swing. And the ego doesn't like to be spotted. So what we do at our table is we remove the ego from ourselves and make it an external entity. So that when you feel any of those emotions come up, you just put it outside of yourself. Keeps you rational, keeps you sane, keeps you looking properly. A lot of things that...
In other words, you make the ego away. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com after the break. Don't you go anywhere. Kate of Gaia, kateofgaia.wordpress.com. Back in just a few minutes, folks. Don't you go anywhere.
Bonkers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I just wanted to give a wee plug here. Those of you who watch the videos, you'll notice that my hair is always immaculate, and there's a reason for that. First reason is the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. They make this really wonderful hair pomade with rosemary oil and peppermint and beeswax and what have you. You can get that at the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. There's a banner on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also, my hair was cut by Silky Organic Hairdressing. Good man named Nathan there. He's got a bit of a special going on right now. If you can get a free introductory haircut with organic color services. If you want to pop in to see Nathan, is at 53B Davis Crescent in Newmarket, Auckland. Been hairdressing for a good 10 years. And it was very nice of him to offer me a haircut because I was getting a bit of a mop top. His number's 027 42 44 202. That's 027 42 44 202. So there's a little bit of a plug done for the day. Okay. Finally, by the way, those people won't give me any money. I was just plugging them because they do really great products and services. That's kind of how I do it. All my money comes from you, the listeners. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe either through PayPal for $5 a month, or you can set up an automatic payment through the Kiwi Bank account number there. This is how I run the show. This is how I give the platform to people, and this is how I support my community. And unfortunately, it's become somewhat of a global community, so I need a lot of resources, man. My plan is I want to have enough donations to be able to actually purchase a house and then convert it into studios as well as my living quarters and whatnot so that I can train activists who have no skill in editing, who have no skill in broadcasting or whatever, just train them how to do it themselves so that they don't need me anymore and can create their own radio shows, their own YouTube channels, and so on and so forth with the skills to do it. These activists are the reporters in society. All I seek to do is give them the training so that they can actually make it happen. Be able to make their own press releases, their own radio shows, and their own documentaries, and so on and so forth. I can teach people to do that because I do it every day, and it's not that hard once you know what you're doing. All right, that's the shameless plugging going out there. But there's nothing
all good.
Shameful.
All good.
There's nothing
shameful. Oh, God,
shameful.
No. You got to survive, you know? That's what I mean. I mean, other than the Guelph police and the mayor and Newmarket mayor and courts care, MC Law, they not only weren't happy enough kidnapping me and my family, stealing my home, stole my car, my truck, the cops emptied out the bar, thousands of dollars of store food, stole money collections. My late father, I'd just gotten his paper money collection. I got the briefcase back, but the cops emptied it, and coin collections and stuff like that. Yeah, so these are the people that are supposed to be upstanding citizens, you know? It's all right, guys. Coming for you. Yeah, look in your rear view. You're going to see me, and it won't be flashing lights. Promise. Anyway, so where do you want to go? We got this is the last segment, so what do you want to touch on, Vinny?
I want to know how you actually started and got to all of this in the first place.
This really has been a life path. I was born to it. Beings like me, we kind of have an inkling that we know who we are from day one. Family line, born on the day that Magna Carta was signed. All the clues were there for me. What else? So the Thompson clan, family motto, Nosco Te Ipsum, know thyself, and the lawmakers, lawkeepers of Northern England, Southern Scotland. I'm Irish born in Belfast, the jurisdiction thereof. Musician most of my life, worked as well to support that nasty little habit, and every road that I've walked has had a very profound meaning and impact within what it is I do. Right now, everything mattered, and this is what I, you know, sharing with people every night, and they're sharing it as well when they start to see what I call the yellow brick road. I'm going to do a quick little allegory for Wizard of Oz. Beautiful movie. It does a great synopsis of the birth certificate and the awakening, right? I'll give you an example. When Dorothy, the house comes down and lands on the Wicked Witch of the East, that's knowledge, and she gets the red ruby slippers. Those are the shoes of truth. They, Frank L. Baum, actually, in the book, those were silver. Silver allegorically means truth. So what Dorothy, or the Door of God, Dorotheos, and Toto Jeanneri, full character, what they represent are you, the spirit, and the physical together, walking your road to the Emerald City, which green emerald is love, to find yourself. When the road starts out, you have two intertwining roads, the yellow brick road winding out in the fractal, and the red one comes back to center. Red is emotion. So if you get emotional, you get egocentric and you go back to start. So the game here is to walk through the yellow brick road. Now, the three characters, Straw Man, Tin Man, Cowardly Lion, are allegorical. Towards the end of the movie, when Dorothy throws truth all over the Wicked Witch of the West, she melts. But before she does that, the witch says to her, the last to go will see the first three go before her. So you can take that in the literal being entertained movie, or you can see the allegory. And what it means is, in order for you to set yourself free spiritually, there's three things you got to get taken care of. One of them is you got to wake up to the fact that the straw man is the illusion. That's the meat stick realm, thinking that everything is physical. Ironically, what do we call the all caps name? The straw man. And it's the mindless one. It's the left brain hasn't got a clue and does what you did, the two hands, let's go this way. It's confused. Now, as you go down the yellow brick road, once you figure out that you're more than that, you find the Tin Man. What's the Tin Man? The Tin Man's heartless, so you have to find your compassion. You have to start to understand the emotions and getting control of them. You are the empty vessel that needs to be filled with the heart. That's what the Tin Man represents. If you look up these things in Black's Law, you'll find very interesting things about this. Now, the last thing you have to confront is your fear, the Cowardly Lion. So, like Dorothy did, you kind of got to smack the fear in the face, and then the fear backs down. And at the very end of the movie, she walked that whole road with Toto. Toto was the main character in the movie, by the way. Toto in Black's Law is Toto Jeanneri, which means in your full character. And when you're acting as a straw man, you're not in full character. If you're acting heartless, you're not a full character. You need the courage. So you put all the Trinity together and you have your Toto Jeanneri. It was Toto that pulled back the veil on the wizard, right? And that's the only way you can pull the curtain back is when you're in full character. Toto was the other one that also jumped out of the balloon so that Dorothy didn't get taken off into this other little adventure, where she understood at the very end when Glinda said to her, says, the answer was within you all along. All you had to do was figure it out. So I can go into hours of detail on Wizard of Oz. What a beautiful, beautiful movie.
What's synchronistic about this is I was thinking last night just before I was going to bed, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. And I was just kind of like thinking about it really intensely. I didn't know why a particular line was just coming up in my head. It happens to me randomly. I'll think something, and then not too long afterwards, that exact thing will happen in front of me.
That's
I
your yellow brick.
Huh?
That's your yellow brick road. Follow it. That's the white rabbit they talked about in The Matrix. Follow it. It will lead you to the next clue, to the next clue, and that's all I do, and that's how I've uncovered everything. I've learned to decipher cartoons, movies, using Black's Law. I can use the I can use any book to decipher anything once you know how to
do it. Did you ever see the what was it, Duck's Tale, you know, with Scrooge McDuck and whatnot? He's in the doctor's office, and on the chart behind him is an eye exam, and the letters read, "Ask about the Illuminati."
Hey, oh, yeah. These are all little things that trigger with people, and if you're not paying attention, oh, you see everything. Your subconscious sees everything. I just want to do a quick little reminder for people. When I'm finished with, on here with the illustrious Vinny Eastwood, I'm going to be at my the regular spot starting an hour later at criticalmassradio.co.uk. So I'm going straight to the board after this just to keep this puppy rolling. And feel free, Vinny, if you want to jump in and hang out with us, I'll toss you a link.
I'll have to run and get myself some lunch, unfortunately. Then I've got to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you guys are. You're 16 hours ahead of me, I think.
Yeah, it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've not had breakfast yet. So I'm.
Not good. Take care of you. Yeah.
And if you invite me on another time, that'd be cool. We'll schedule it.
Seven nights a week, we don't schedule. You show up and hang out and say your piece and have some fun. That's what we do. It's kind of wide open that way. That's why I call it open forum. Actually, been spending the last 3 or 4 days exposing Kevin Annette and the fact that he's a government agent. And all the proofs and facts are coming into that. So it's been a very interesting few days dismantling a lot of the stuff that's been going on and how a lot of people are being deceived. Same message or same tactic used of attach yourself to something very emotional, very compassionate. And then if you pick on the messenger, you're picking on the message. I think they pulled that stunt in Israel, I think, something close to that, right? You pick on one of the bad guys, all of a sudden you're anti-Semite because of that association. Same deal. Same COINTELPRO up. But anyway, yeah, we've been having a lot of fun with that. But mostly we talk about what I've been talking about tonight, phonics, word trickeries and stuff like that, to really get people up to speed on it, to get them comfortable. And it's a great gathering of people. We'd love to have you show up anytime you want, and everyone's welcome. Including shills. We love our shills. As long as you're original, you got to be original. Don't just come on and start swearing and everything else. That doesn't impress me. I do that all the time. Okay, so come up with something original, something fun.
Yeah. Hey, and another thing just happened to me that I foresaw last night. There's a little laptop next to me with a thing, and once a year or something like that, it'll turn on its sound by itself, even though the laptop's closed. And that just happened, and I was envisioning that would happen last night. And I was thought to myself before the show, put the headphones into that puppy, and I was right. I'm starting to get the vibe, man. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.